Thursday. Today is August the 15th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, a new to us, I guess, soybean viral disease has been found. We're going to talk about soybean vein necrosis virus, also the potential for downy mildew and the two getting confused. We'll talk about what it looks like, how it's spread, and some different control mechanisms after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Well, making agricultural headlines last week, the Ohio Field Leader sponsored its Ohio Crop Tour. I was able to participate with that as we traversed about 24 counties between the two scouting teams all across the state. And one interesting thing was the finding of a relatively new soybean virus in the state. This was primarily in central and southern Ohio. But as we progressed, we found the soybean vein necrosis virus, or SVNV is the short way to say it, soybean vein necrosis virus. And it's making a noticeable presence in different parts of the state. It is a viral disease, and it's primarily spread by thrips. Those are sort of tiny little insects, and that manifests typically as sort of a yellowing and necrosis along the veins of those soybean leaves. Initial symptoms include chlorotic lesions that evolve, resulting in a necrotic or vein-associated appearance. The impact of this soybean vein necrosis virus on overall yield is still really unknown and under investigation. Early infection is generally, though, more detrimental, so growers should be vigilant about thrip populations and adopt integrated pest management strategies, including the use of resistant varieties if those are available in the future, to mitigate the spread of this virus. Now, as we go through right now, you have to sort of, one, be scouting to see, is it an issue in the field or are there thrips? And oftentimes, thrips are really only a problem if the right environmental conditions are occurring. Oftentimes, it's the natural biologicals that really help keep them in check, so it's not a problem. Now, in tandem with the rise of this soybean vein necrosis virus, there's also been an observation, an uptick in downy mildew infections. Now, this infection would be on top of the leaves as a pale green to yellow spot, which can become more extensive and ultimately lead to leaf curling and become necrotic. On the underside, though, the pathogen produces sort of a grayish, puffy growth. The pathogen thrives in cool, moist conditions, making our recent weather patterns really prime for that spread. The disease rarely causes severe damage to crops, but there are some reports that it has reduced seed size and quality if present early in the season at higher levels. And effective management for the downy mildew would include things like crop rotation, planting clean seeds, and resistant varieties. Fungicides commonly used on soybeans are not recommended for downy mildew. They also won't work for the soybean vein necrosis virus because that is a virus and not a fungal pathogen. So really at this time, what they're recommending is just get out, walk your fields. Now's the time to do that, to scout for disease, insects, nutrient deficiencies. But if you think you're catching a early outbreak, maybe there are chances to implement timely control measures. But what you have to do is know where there's things that look unusual, collect leaf samples, and send them down to the Soybean Pathology and Nematology Lab, Dr. Horacio Lopez Nicora. There's a form you can download by going to corn.osu.edu. Click on this article that deals with soybean vein necrosis virus and downy mildew. Just download that submission form and send it in, and they can tell you what exactly is going on if you do happen to find leaves with lesions that look unfamiliar. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions and talk food price projections. And that question, how much is food price inflation going to be faced by shoppers the rest of this year and as we go into 2025? Well, USDA's Gary Crawford shares this report.
Analysts at the U.S. Department of Agriculture are projecting that food at the grocery store this year will likely end up costing us more than last year, but on average, only about 1% more.
And that's compared to a 5% increase in prices that we saw for groceries in 2023.
And 11.5% in 2022. USDA economist Megan Schweitzer told us that even though we are only a bit more than halfway through this year,
I don't expect too much change in the forecast through the remainder of the year. We've sort of narrowed in on this right around 1% predicted change in prices. It's been the same for the past 2 months.
And while overall grocery prices are expected to rise, some food categories are going to cost less than last year. Fresh fruit, almost 1% less.
And then a few other categories where we're predicting price declines in 2024 are fish and seafood by 0.8%, eggs by 0.3%,
milk and dairy products by almost 0.5%. So as we heard earlier, USDA is expecting food price inflation for this year to be only 1%. And for 2025,
just slightly lower than what we're expecting in 2024.
Megan says the long-range historical data and current trends both point to another year of very slow, almost no, food price inflation. And again, to put it in context.
So for food at home or grocery prices, last year we saw prices increase by 5% in 2023. This year in 2024, we're forecasting those grocery prices to increase by 1%. And then next year, looking into 2025, we're forecasting grocery prices to increase by 0.7%.
Just 0.7%. That is, of course, barring any unforeseen shocks to the food system, such as we saw during COVID, which begs the question, Megan, why are you and your other economists even trying to forecast food prices a year and a half out?
Yeah, so one of the primary reasons that we do these forecasts up to 18 months in the future is our forecasts are used a lot in budget planning by USDA, by industry, other government organizations who are food purchasers, such as for schools or institutions. They're doing budget planning of what food might cost them in the upcoming year. And so our future forecasts here really help people to do some budget planning for the upcoming years.
And those long-range projections, you know, are often very accurate. Last July, analysts were projecting grocery store food prices this year could be about 1% higher than 2023. And that's exactly where we're at now. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, Gary. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.